bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
Oh, certainly not Sugar Sean. This voice can only belong to one person. That, of course, is the voice of professional bodybuilding. Yes, it's me, folks. Bob Chick filling in because Sugar Sean is in reality show heaven. God only knows what he's out there probably signing autographs and such, but we'll let Sugar Sean off for this week. Of course, can't do this stuff alone. Who better but my good friend, Mr. David Bay, joining. David.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
All is well, my friend. How's life in the ever-loving Wisconsin? You guys got running water down there yet?
Yeah. They just hooked us up to running water. We're looking at getting electricity next week sometime. So pretty
beautiful.
Pretty big thing.
Well, that's good to hear, bro. The speaking of electricity, man, it was in the air in Sacramento. I just got back late last night off the plane, and I tell you what, man, not a big show for A-listers, David, but I tell you, sometimes you don't need it, and parity is what makes the world go round. But we had a close one there, only mere points, 1 point each, separating first, second, and third. So Sacramento was alive and well.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that I think the fans really love, and even the competitors, is having a close race. You know, you see so many shows where, you know, we look at scorecards after, and it's straight fives, straight tens, straight 15s, and people, I don't think people want to see that. You know, they want to see a close race, and it was definitely close between your top three. So, you know, definitely made for a good show for the fans.
And something else that's been kind of a recurring theme all year, and that is for anybody that, any pros especially out there who think that the judging is over after the pre-judging, I can tell you this right now. We've had show after show now where it absolutely has come down to the night show finals, and when we talk about the finals, we're not talking about the posing routines, and I want to get into that a little bit with you tonight. But obviously, they're judging physiques at night. You have to come back in shape, and when it's close, the judges reserve the right. They're scoring up until that bell tolls, man. So, you know, beware, all you people out there. Don't start eating pizzas after pre-judging.
No, and there's so much that can happen over the course of even 20 or 30 minutes from the time when somebody starts pumping up to the time they make it through their first round of mandatories. You can see people's physique change. And so when you get done with prejudging at, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock and you're not getting back on stage till 7 or 8, there's so much that can happen with your physiques. And sometimes, you know, guys think that the judging is done, so they go, you know, they go nuts on the water or the sodium or whatever they might be hitting up in between the two portions of the show. And if it comes back down to, you know, to rejudging it, you know, a lot of these guys can really screw themselves over. And when you think about how much hard work goes getting, or how much hard work goes into getting ready for a show, you hate to think that you couldn't hang on to that for another few hours to make sure you had it and your position locked down by the night show.
Well, that's for sure. Well, the another race that was heating up is the points race. Of course, the Olympia qualification series in full effect. We are now down, David, to the Last Chance Saloon. That's right, Tampa coming up. We're going to preview that a little bit later in the show, but I tell you what, Sacramento, the second Last Chance Saloon was going on this weekend, and I tell you what, man, I mean, there's a couple guys in there that are going to be taking their last gasp in Tampa. Most notably, JoJo Natifero is in that mix. Issa Obiad also not getting the nod. We'll get into those particulars in just a few seconds, but you know, I tell you what, man, at this points race, you know, everybody was a little skeptical when it first kind of came around, but it does make things more exciting down the stretch.
I like the points race. You know, I'll admit that I was a little bit skeptical as well, and I think the concern in the beginning when they started it was that you were going to get all these guys, you know, who were just popping in every show there was to get points, and that doesn't seem to be the case. The guys who are at the top of the points race are the guys who show up consistently and do well, and so the points thing is working exactly as it was designed to work. You know, you get a guy like John De La Rosa who's hasn't been outside of the top four, I think, in a lot of big shows this year. You know, in my opinion, he deserves to be at the Olympia. You know, and Johnny himself in Orlando was another one of these guys who was talking about where if he didn't win, he didn't know that he wanted to go off of points. And, you know, one of the things I had talked to him about and Peter McGuff had talked to him about was, you know, hey, people forget very quickly that before the points race, top three guys at all these shows were qualifying for the Olympia.
That's
and,
right.
You know, you had some smaller shows where, you know, a third place guy who might not otherwise have any chance to get to the Olympia or even place, you know, that high at any other show was qualifying. And And so a few years ago, a guy like John would have qualified, you know, three or four times over, but now because of the points race, he's like, well, I don't know if I want to go. And so, I don't know. I really like the points race. I agree with you that it's working exactly the way it should, and it definitely makes for an exciting last few shows down the home stretch before the Olympia.
And I think that's a great point, David. It doesn't demean or lessen that this guy would be qualified. We'll use De La Rosa, I think, as a great example. Listen, I mean, there's something to be said for consistency and coming out time after time, placing in the top five, top three, as John did, runner-up. So, these guys have to look at it a little different way. And you and Peter are absolutely right. Just a few years ago, if you placed second or third, that would have qualified. And nobody gave it a second thought. If you qualified, you were happy. You qualify, but nobody, I don't think, ever sat there and says, well, third place, I don't think that's good enough. If I don't win, I'm not going in. So
I don't think you ever saw that. And now there's this stigma like, oh, I don't want to go on points. And it's, to me, it's, there's only five guys going on points. You know, before second, third place at how many shows? You got 10, 15 shows throughout the course of the year. I mean, how many guys theoretically could have qualified for the Olympia by not winning a show? And now it's only five. So I think that, the points race is definitely a legitimate way of weeding out who should be able to go to the Olympia.
Well, let's get right into Sacramento and the results, because we've got a big show here tonight, David, with the impending Tampa show. And let me just give a little preview to that. There are presently, and this is assuming that we don't get any late signups, which we certainly might this week, I just counted myself over 200. I think 205 IFBB pros will be taking the stage in Tampa. I believe that's an all-time record, and that's assuming that nobody else shows up to the dance. So congratulations in advance to Tim Gardner and our friends down there putting on the PBW championships. The Sacramento Pro was a first-year event, actually. This is the first time that they've actually held this show. And when I say they, I want to give a special shout-out to Sandy and Ted Williamson. Everybody knows them as, obviously, Sandy, the head women's judge, and, of course, Ted's been in the industry for many, many years. John Tooman and Hanny Rambod, one of the top gurus out there. Most people know him as obviously being the driving force behind Phil Heath and his impressive string of victories since Phil became a pro. So congratulations to them for working in tandem, putting out the Sacramento Pro. David, 200-plus NPC taking the stage, so very successful from the NPC ranks, and 14, only two pro divisions going on, but two very competitive divisions, and I want to get into that now. Starting off with the men, and we'll start from the bottom up. JoJo Notifiero ends up in the fifth spot. Now, JoJo just really came on this year, really started making some strides and kind of finding himself. Took a little bit of a back seat here. I've seen him a little bit. He wasn't way off, but he was off just enough. Kind of came out smoking, David, and quickly he got kind of moved to the outside. Still a fifth-place finish for JoJo.
Yeah, I mean, fifth place for JoJo isn't really a bad spot for him, but having gained some momentum earlier on in the year, I think he was looking to crack the top three. Like you said, he was a little bit off his top form that we've seen him earlier on this year. So, again, not a bad finish. Obviously when there's only a 14-person lineup, this place isn't necessarily spectacular, but when you look at the way some of the guys who placed ahead of him looked, definitely nothing to hang his head about either.
No, and the two guys he beat were no slouches either, respectively On Win from California in sixth place and Akeem Williams, so two relative newcomers taking sixth and seventh respectively. Both those guys, by the way, David, I tell you, tremendous, tremendous amount of potential on both these guys in different forms. Akeem Williams is just packed with muscle. I mean, this guy is just put together. Legs got to come up a little bit, but I tell you, they're not as behind as people think. More so is conditioning. If he can bring that up, and the same thing goes for On Win, big shoulders, small waist, sweeping thighs. I mean, he's got all the tools, just has to dial it down a little bit, and either one of these guys could have easily been in the top five.
Yeah, Akeem Williams, if you look at his competition history, his making his way through the amateurs and now a few shows as a pro, he really hasn't come in really shredded yet. So that's something that he's going to have to work on. He was able to earn a pro card because of how massive he is. You touched on that. I was at the North Americans last year, and when he walked out on stage, he didn't have to even hit a pose, and the overall was done. He's just got to get it together as far as conditioning goes. He's got tons of potential, but he's going to have to show up sharper. As far as On Win, when On won his pro card at Nationals, he was absolutely peeled. And so he's been there before, and I don't know if he's playing the size game a little bit in the IFBB. I mean, even for as much size as he's put on, he's still not as big as some of these guys he's going up against, but I don't think that's where he's going to, you know, he's going to wow people. He's definitely a big guy, but he's got really good aesthetics, and I think he needs to focus on conditioning as well. So you definitely have two guys with a lot of potential. As we stated before, though, conditioning is king, and they got to show up in shape.
Yeah, you got to have that combination. I tell you what, he should look no further than the winner in William Bonac to see that size literally didn't matter in the show. It was purely quality, and we'll get into that as we keep moving up the ladder. Mo Benoit finds himself in fourth place. We haven't seen Mo on stage in a little bit of time. Didn't really come in any different than I normally see him. He was maybe a little bit less conditioned, but he's always pretty up there when it comes to level of conditioning and dryness. Not the most aesthetically gifted guy I've ever seen, but he does a lot with what he has. Finds himself in fourth place here.
Yeah, you pretty much hit it. He's not, he's never going to win a show on aesthetics, and yeah, he's not the biggest guy either. So for Mo to come in and crack the top five, I think, at any show, that's a good placing for him. You know, he's working with the genetics that he has. You know, and obviously, he's an IFBB pro. He's got stellar genetics, relatively speaking. But he's not among that elite crowd. But again, to come in at a good show and place top five for Mo, I think that's something he's got to be pretty happy about.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what his plans are, nor do I know if I've seen his name in the Tampa list. He certainly might be. It's not a show I don't see him winning. He can certainly potentially find himself in the top five, but he doesn't have enough points that would make a difference. I'll be curious to see if he makes that trip or not. But, David, I'm going to take the next three guys as basically one, because that's what they were after the prejudging, and pretty much at nighttime, too. Normally we kind of take them individually, but Manuel Romano, Issa Obeid, and William Bonac, your top three in that order. Now, that's the order it ended up, but I can tell you this right now. You literally could have flipped a coin, and rarely is that with three guys. You might usually get the top two, and then, it can kind of go either way. Rarely do you get three guys, and these are three distinct different physiques. I mean, literally. They all had their pluses and minuses, but I tell you what, right after prejudging, I talked to head judge Sandy Williamson, and she says this could go either way, like any three ways tonight, so it's going to be real interesting to see what happens, and it was, but I tell you, these guys were tight after prejudging, man.
Yeah, I had a chance to look at quite a few pictures, and it's an interesting point that you bring up, just how different these three physiques are and how difficult of a job that made it for the judges. Manuel's a little bit taller, smaller waist, really crazy sweep on his quads, lacking a little bit of muscle in his chest, an area that, Bonac and Obeid don't really seem to be facing. But it was, it was an exciting top three. It was good to see these guys this close, and the judges really push them through the mandatories. And I saw William Bonac in Australia, and I think he's one of these guys that, and we can say this about a lot of bodybuilders in general, but I think he's one of these guys where pictures doesn't do him any justice. You know, he jumped up on stage in Australia and gave Sean Roden a good run for his money, placed ahead of Evan Santapani and ahead of Branch Warren, and deservingly so. When you saw him next to Evan and Branch, he was clearly ahead of them. Now, William was a little bit sharper in Australia than we've seen him in the past and than we've seen him this year, but still impressive enough to win. He's on a smaller frame as far as height-wise, but he's really dense, and he's got just a ton of muscle. So I not to toot my own horn, I predicted Essa winning on the radio show last week because we didn't have William on the competitors list, but I had spoken with Hani a few days before that. Hani had told me that that William was going to be there, so I had shout out my prediction on the MD forums. Was happy to see it go that way, but not a surprise for me to see William in first place.
No, the interesting thing, like I say, I don't think it was a surprise to anybody that he showed up and was in contention. But like I say, after prejudging, I actually didn't have William in first after the prejudging. At night, I think he shined a little bit above, and I can see why the judges ended up putting him in first. I actually had Manuel Romero, who I'll remind you, of course, was my dark horse pick prior to the competition. So for those that think that I may not always be right, David, but of course, I'm never wrong. But I tell you what, Manuel had an impressive physique, and this is a guy that's been under the radar the last couple of years. You can see potential. Yes, he needs a little thickness in the upper chest area, that type of thing, which is a common area for bodybuilders with his structure. he's a big dude, man. I mean, he's over 6 feet tall. He's got real wide shoulders, really flaring thighs, and a small waist for a big man. But I tell you, he's put together, man. And he was, as his confidence was growing out throughout the morning, you can see him getting a little more aggressive on stage and really kind of fighting for that win. But there was, I can tell you right now from talking to the judging panel after the pre-judging, he had first place votes. Issa had first place votes, and William had first place votes. How about that?
Yeah, like I had touched on before, it's nice to see that those judges' scores mixed up. You know, at every show and every, whether it be NPC or IFBB, we get a lot of talk about whether the judging is fixed or whether anything's predetermined. And when you see the scorecards as mixed up as they were for this show, it goes to show that, you know, a lot of these shows are nothing's predetermined, and these guys are being judged for what they bring to the stage that day. And they have different physiques, and it's nice to see one judge say, hey, I prefer William's physique, and another judge to say, well, I like the way Manuel looks. And like you said, it makes for an exciting show for the fans. You know, one thing that would be neat, and I don't think, you know, you're ever going to really see this, it would be nice if maybe the judges let the audience know after prejudging, and obviously that would require, you know, tallying up the points pretty quick, which I don't think would be that difficult when there's only 14 guys. But it would be nice if, you know, at the beginning of finals, they let them know, hey, just so you guys know, this is a show that's down to a few points. I think it would make it interesting for the crowd if they knew really just how close some of these shows were.
Yeah, you know, I've never really had an issue with transparency of judging, meaning like letting the scores out after prejudging, basically seeing who's in what places and all that. And, you know, there's various arguments on either end of that as to why you wouldn't. And, you know, you don't want to impact ticket sales, or if it's a, let's just say it's the other option and it's a runaway. You don't want people to sit there and go, well, there's no way this guy's going to lose, so why even bother? So, you know, I get it from all sides, you know, from the promoter's standpoint, from the fan, you know, you want to keep people interested. But in this type of a show, and I'm not even so sure you need to do it all the time, but yeah, absolutely let everybody know, look, this is a real tight race, and anybody can win it. And you're right, David, I like it when, you know, guys can show up. I mean, let's face it, these, you know, like I say, with the absence of superstars in the show, and by then we need the obviously perennial top, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys in the Olympia. This thing's wide open. I mean, like I said, Manuel Romano is not a household name. I mean, this isn't a guy, like I said, that most people would not have said, who? You know, before the show. And listen, the judges saw it. I mean, he looked good. He got called out, and he had a chance to compete. Issa Obeid. Again, just not probably the best I've seen him, but closer than he was last week. I tell you, he's just got to kind of dial it in. He needs that conditioning. Without that grainy conditioning, bro, his weaknesses show a little bit, and I think he was starting to fade a little bit in the morning. I think that's why he was a little bit out of the mix.
Yeah, and when Issa jumped onto the scene a few years ago and won his first show, he was in razor-sharp shape. I mean, so when we see him now, he might be a little bit bigger than he was back then, but he was still pretty huge. So he's got to come in really sharp. For as big as he is, he doesn't have bad aesthetics, but they're not the prettiest. But he's got a lot of muscle, and he's put together pretty well. But that's never going to carry him through a show. Again, he's not a Rami or a Rolly Winkler where he can show up off and win. He definitely has the potential to win, but he's got to be on the money, and it just seems like it hasn't happened for him this year. And he was good in Tampa last year where he got third place, I believe, behind Monreal and Evan Santapani, but still not as sharp as we've seen him when he first came on the scene winning shows. So I'd like to see him show up the way that we have and come in at his best, but he's got to do something different. I don't think we're going to see him in Tampa. Somebody had said something to the likes that he's having some family issues and that he might have to take off for the Tampa Pro. So I'm not sure we'll see him at the Olympia.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see him in Tampa. His mom isn't doing very well, and I guess she's had some pretty serious health issues as of late. You know, wasn't really doing good when he left, but I guess got the blessing to go and compete. But I guess she's taken a turn. So he flew back immediately at the conclusion of the show with his wife. So he's taking care of family biz. Yeah, I mean, at this point, you have to put, you know, you got to put your priorities in order, you know. And the other thing is even if he could have made it out to Tampa, and let's just say win, I mean, where does that put you in jeopardy, obviously, with getting preparing for an Olympia as your mom is dying, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, let's hope he, you know, does the right thing and takes care of biz. And, you know, we certainly send our best. But that's going to bring us to the winner, William Bonac. And I tell you what, the minute he walked out, David, in the morning, you knew this guy was on. I mean, he had it cooking. I mean, he doesn't really have a lot of weak points. I mean, he's not the widest guy in the world, but he's also not the biggest guy in the world either. But he's packed, David. I mean, this guy's got some muscle. He's got conditioning, and he's got that youthful muscle, you know, the muscle that pops like when he hits shots, as opposed to veteran muscle, which we're going to get into in a minute. You know, I thought he had the lead kind of initially, and then it looked like he was kind of fading a little bit, and Romero was kind of coming on. And that's why I thought, man, I don't know, maybe Romero's going to get it. So, but William Bonac ends up in the winner's circle.
Yeah, you know, they actually moved him out to the outside. They put Issa in the middle a little bit later and through the first round of prejudging, which made you question as to whether he faded a little bit and whether Issa was going to get the nod. But, you know, they kept him in the middle for a while and then, you know, didn't move him back to the middle from what I saw. But to me, when you're comparing everything that you need to compare for a bodybuilding show, I think from what I've seen from pictures, to me, he looked like he had a pretty decent first place. I mean, Manuel Romero's legs looked to be a little bit bigger than William's, and, you know, William's chest was a little bit fuller, arms a little bit bigger. So, you know, when you start going pose for pose, I think William started to separate himself a little bit, but, again, close enough to where the judges had it only within a few points. But, I liked him for the win. I think he's a really complete bodybuilder, as you said. Maybe if I had to pick apart his physique, maybe just a tad boxy and a little bit of a short torso, but he's, you know, he's a shorter guy, so that's going to happen. But, sure. When he shows up on, I think he's going to be real dangerous.
I tell you what, I mean, he is definitely dangerous. He's going to be one of those dark horse guys at the Olympia that you don't see him coming, but once he gets out there, he's going to shine, you know, assuming that he shows up as he should. But I tell you this, I got to give credit where it's due. The judges get a lot of flack, David, all the time, and, you know, the fans go crazy every show. This guy got screwed. This guy did this, and that. I tell you what, the reason that he got moved to the outside was Sandy Williamson is excellent when it comes to giving each guy the limelight, you know, the sweet spot, which is that middle that everybody wants to be in. And dutifully, she put each guy in the middle. She would do two poses, and then she'd move the other guy into the middle. Then she'd do another two poses and move the other guy into the middle. So each guy got an opportunity to be compared in favorable light, you know, and the light was pretty good all the way across the stage, but you know how it goes. The bodybuilders like that, that X on the floor. But she gave them all a chance to compete, and I think that's all the athletes ever really asked for.
Yeah, I mean, and looking over a few more pictures, it does appear, well, obviously you were there, you know that Manuel got put in the middle, but it's nice to see these guys get flip-flopped, and you wouldn't think at a bodybuilding contest the light would vary that much from, you know, 2 feet over to 2 feet over, but it can, and sometimes just seeing a person stand next to a different person, I mean, we all know that you get a guy that walks out on the stage and he's standing by himself, he might look great or he might not look that good, and then you put him next to somebody and either really pops or fades away. And so when you flip-flop guys, it's nice to see somebody actually stand right next to a person, because you don't even if somebody's two or three guys apart, you know, you can look at them at the same time. You don't have to scan back and forth to look at their physiques, but it's just not the same as having somebody stand right next to another person. And so I think it's nice to give these guys a fair shake that they do that.
Well, two veterans in the mix, I think most people had in their top five predictions, if not either one being considered for a victory here. The X-Man Tony Freeman and one of the world's strongest bodybuilders, Johnny Jackson, end up in eighth and ninth, respectively, which, again, I don't think anybody saw coming. Ironically, they actually tied at the night show, so that had to be broken by the tie-breaking method. But eighth and ninth was not what these guys were looking for. But I got to be honest. They were given no due consideration for their namesake. They were judged as is, but neither guy, I mean, you know, listen, Tony's my age, bro. He's 48 years old. Johnny's a few years behind, but both guys showing signs of age. I got to be honest, man.
Yeah, you know, when I look at Johnny, to me, Johnny, as far as an aging bodybuilder. I don't see a guy who's worn down quite as much. To me, he was just off. But when I look at Tony, and if you compare pictures of Tony to even 4 or 5 years ago, his physique is definitely changing. He doesn't have quite the back thickness that he used to have. To most noticeably to me is his size of his legs. I mean, his legs aren't bad now, but they used to be, you know, just out of this world. And he's definitely showing signs of aging. You know, that all being said, I don't think it was their age or their size that hurt them. It was their conditioning. And you know, they're both veterans and they know how to get in shape. And it's like, I don't know if they thought maybe because this is a smaller show and there wasn't a lot of big name guys that they could let off the gas pedal a little bit. But you know, if that was the case and that's why they did it, you know, it certainly didn't work out in their favor.
Well, I'll tell you this. Yeah. Now they're too veteran to let off the gas, so to say, or think they can come in at 95% and have a shot. But what was striking to me, David, was that neither one was even close. I mean, it wasn't like they were off a little bit and just got beat up by, you know, some new guys that happened to, you know, to come along and were excellent. I mean, both were noticeably off, which is a little strange to me, especially with Johnny, because his last few outings have been very good, actually, where, you know, we've seen, you know, arguably some of the best Johnny Jackson that we've seen ever. So I was a little surprised to see that. I'll also be curious if Johnny Jackson will throw his name in the hat. If you're Johnny Jackson, you going to Tampa?
Boy, the Tampa lineup's going to be tough. So if Johnny feels like he can make the types of changes he needs to make in 2 weeks, in a week, then maybe. You know, Johnny's in an interesting spot right now. I actually just pulled up the points, and he's sitting at 7 points. Now, right now, there's only a few guys ahead of him. You know, Jonathan De La Rosa has 16, Victor has 9, Evan has 8, but Evan's out. Cedric McMillan has 7, and he's out. William Bonac had 7 points. Now, he's out of the points race because he won a show, and so it was Fred Smalls and Johnny Jackson tied with 7 points. So, you know, when we look at the points race and you pull Cedric out of there and you pull Evan out of there, Johnny might make it to the Olympia already, just on points, but I think he'd like to get a top five spot in Tampa, you know, if he goes there and just solidify that. So for as, you know, for as off as Johnny was, and maybe that's the case. I mean, I'm just looking over the points right now, and maybe that was the case where Johnny took a look at the point standings and thought he only had to get a top five spot to lock down his trip to the Olympia, and maybe that's why he let off a little bit, but
that could be, David, but the bottom line is that I'm not so sure I'm resting on my laurels in the, you know, with the current state of pros, you know, and some of these guys are hungry, man. You know, JoJo Natifero, some of these other guys, you know, Ace Obad, obviously nobody really knows his, you know, personal situation. So, I mean, you can't take that for granted, but I'm not so sure I'd be comfortable kind of sitting around and hoping. I mean, you know, Fred Biggie Smalls has actually elected not to compete in these last two shows and hoping that his points will hold up. And again, there's no guarantee there either. I mean, let's face it, if JoJo Natifero comes in Tampa, and he is coming, and brings that conditioning he had just a couple of weeks ago, you know, a first place or a second place or even a third place bumps him up where he's almost an assured trip, but that means somebody gets bumped out.
Yeah, I'm looking at these point standings again, and the more I'm looking at these, the more I'm thinking maybe Johnny just figured with the 7 points, he, right, all he needed was a top five. And he, you know, this is a, you know, you had touched upon it a little bit earlier. This is a tricky time for guys dieting for the Olympia, because if they're getting into contest shape right now, I think we're what, seven weeks out or something like that, a little over 7 weeks out. And, there's a little bit of time to let off the diet and have some good food, but it's not much, if anything. So it's tough to hang on to contest shape for, you know, for 7 or 8 weeks. But
start gathering some thoughts for the preview of Tampa coming up, Dave. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the 2014 PBW Championships in Tampa, Florida, after the break.
This is Lonnie Tieper from Iron Man Magazine, the greatest of all time. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell-swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit PowerhouseGym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances, but rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Hey, this is Seth Ferosi, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Everyone knows that beef is king when it comes to building quality muscle mass. Now you can have all the anabolic power of beef with Carnivore. Beef protein isolate from Muscle Mads, packed with 20 times the creatine of steak and loaded with extra BCAAs. Carnivore is more concentrated than whey. Beef up with Carnivore, the most sought-after muscle-building protein ever created. For more information, visit MuscleMadsRx.com.
Arginine and AAKG are dead.
Nitric oxide war is over. MHP introduces InnoBomb, the world's first clinically tested nitric oxide maximizing formula. Need to experience real workouts and pumps with InnoBomb.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
This is IFB Pro Mike Valentino. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Ron! Oh my God! Business as usual, man! I still here! It's going again!
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
This is Jay Cutler, and you're listening to Team MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Shop the new MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
I'm the truth and these All right, Bob Chick back with David Bay. We just got done giving the review of the Sacramento Pro, and we're going to be moving into the Tampa Pro. But before I do that, David, I'd be remiss if I didn't use that phrase one more time. And you can't leave out the ladies, man. We had the women's physique in Sacramento, which was actually a pretty good competition. Kind of a two-woman race when it came down to it, and Karen Hobbs and the return of our good friend Jillian Reville after having some heart issues after the Olympia last year, and she came back in grand fashion, looked phenomenal, but at the end of the day it was Karen Hobbs, who formerly Karen Kimura, I'm guessing she got married, and she's going to the Olympia, man, but a tight race with these two girls.
Yeah, they both looked really good. To me, the women's physique division, it's hard to look at some of these competitions and try to pick winners just because at some shows it seems like they're going for a little bit bigger, more muscular, leaner look, and other shows it seems like they're going for a little bit softer. But these two, yeah, definitely stood out, and if we look at the call-outs and stuff, they had just the two of them side by side for a while, so the judges made it pretty clear that it was a two-person race as well.
Well, Karen off to the Women's Physique Olympia, and Jillian Never Say Die Reville will be in Tampa. She'd actually planned on that before this show, win, lose, or draw, so we will see her there battling it out. But I tell you what, she's got her hands full, David, as I'm looking at this Tampa list, as we said in the beginning of the show, 205 athletes, as of right now. That could climb to anywhere from the 210s to the 210s if some athletes jump into the mix this week, but 34 women. Which is a huge class in the women's physique in Tampa. So head judge Steve Weinberger and Sandy Williamson will have their hands full. But I want to get into the lineup here in Tampa. Now, this is where things get interesting. Now, this is literally the last show for the gentlemen. So this is it. You talk about the points race. You're talking about who goes to the Olympia, who doesn't. This is it. Other than those top five guys, the point getters, they're going to go by the Olympia qualification series. But as I'm scanning down the list, Dave, we got 22 bodybuilders in the men's open, also a healthy amount. And the first name on the list, Beito Abbaspor, if memory serves, my friend, wasn't he in the 212?
Yeah, I think he went from the open and dropped down to the 212 last year, and this year it looks like he's back in the open. We have seen him a few times on the open list, and then when we sit down on Saturday morning or Friday morning for pre-judging, the judges scratch him from there and say add him to the 212 list. So I wouldn't be 100% sure that he's not in the 212 and that maybe he doesn't put himself on the open list just in case or something like that. But, you know, even when he was in the 212, for as massive as he is, his conditioning still needed to be a little bit better. So unless he's made some interesting size gains since New York, I think, and found a way to get bigger and leaner, I don't know that going into the open is a real good move for him.
Well, Mo Benoot, also in here, we had questioned that earlier. Now that I'm looking at the list, I see his name is on there. You know, interesting strategy here with Mo. Now, he's obviously got to be trying to get the win. Not that any bodybuilder isn't, but, I mean, obviously you have to look at things realistically, obviously, in this game. I'm not so sure hitting the last two shows of the year is probably the best strategy I've ever seen, David. I mean, he got, what, 1 point or two tops, I guess, in the last show here. And short of winning this thing, I mean, all the points in the world ain't going to give him enough to get him a ticket to the Olympia. So Mo Benoot in Tampa.
Yeah, you know, they haven't listed from being from Lebanon, and as far as I know, that's actually where he lives. I don't think he lives here in the States.
No.
So obviously there's some logistical issues that he faces as far as hitting more shows throughout the course of the year. You're talking about quite a hefty travel schedule to try to make it back and forth to the U.S. from Lebanon. So, you know, maybe he comes over here, stays a few weeks, and tries to hit up the shows that he can. But, some of these guys that live overseas, you know, they'll bunk up with a buddy for a couple of months and stay here for a while. I'm not exactly sure how that works as far as how long people can stay for whatever reasons. But, yeah, it's definitely interesting, like you said. I mean, he's got to know that him getting to the Olympia is going to be a tough road. So maybe I can think maybe he's not necessarily gunning for an Olympia qualification. I'm sure that's what he would like, but you know, maybe this is him saying, hey, I'm a bodybuilder. I want to compete. I'm going to pick a few shows and do my best.
Well, speaking of a guy making the big trip across the pond, William Bonac, who just won this show this past weekend and does qualify, is in the lineup. So he's not pulling out. I believe he's got some contractual obligations, so he was kind of committed either way that he was going to both shows. But I'm not so sure in this case it's a bad move. I mean, I really think he's kind of in a can't lose situation. If he wins, great. He's got, you know, two shows in as many weeks and all the momentum in the world going to the Olympia. And if he loses, well, so what? I mean, you can't win them all. And bottom line is, he's still qualified for the Olympia.
Yeah, if he's making a trip all the way over here, you know, might as well hit this show. You know, there's definitely the business side of bodybuilding that we don't always look at. You know, we focus a lot on, you know, who's going to the Olympia and who's qualifying for what. But you know, there's a nice check at stake for this Tampa Pro. And if he just won in Sacramento, and even if he's in the top five, you know, he's looking at a nice payday just for placing well. So from a business standpoint, I don't think it's a bad move for him just to line his pockets a little bit more.
Well, we're going to have a repeat of the duel that we just saw in Sacramento. My man Manny Romero will also be coming to Tampa. He is fired up. He's kind of ready to go. He's got some new confidence in him. And can he make enough changes to win in Tampa? I mean, I guess is the question. I mean, yeah, we'll go over the rest of the lineup, but you got to think he's a contender at this point.
Yeah, he was in pretty good shape in Sacramento. Now, if he can make some tweaks and a few changes and show up just razor sharp. I mean, really, really impressive as far as his conditioning. And, you know, maybe Victor Martinez slips a little or William Bonac slips a little. I wouldn't say it would be, you know, inconceivable that he lands in a first place spot. But to me, he's going to have to definitely be leaner than he was this past weekend.
Now, you mentioned the Dominican Dominator. Of course, all eyes are on Victor Martinez, who is on the list here in Tampa. Now, if I'm not mistaken, last I checked the points, I think he's still leading the points, is he not?
He is in second place, I believe, behind Jonathan De La Rosa.
So he mathematically, he probably can't be eliminated. I don't care what anybody does. And obviously, he barring a disaster, he's certainly not going to be out of the top five. So I wonder if it's more sponsor consideration that he's in this show, or if he's just looking for somewhat of a tune-up to get his physique, you know, at a certain point and then ride into the Olympia.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing because, like you said, there's no way right now that he can get bumped out of the points race. It's not going to happen. He's gonna be going to the Olympia, and with 7.5 weeks to go or 6.5 weeks to go, it's a tough spot as far as dieting. You know, if he's really peaking hard for this Tampa show, then he's got to essentially hold on to that condition for the next 6 weeks. You'd think if he was already qualified, happy with his Olympia qualification, he would just go on points and focus on peaking for the Olympia. But you know, like you said, it may be a contractual thing with MHP, or maybe him saying, hey, I want to try to tune up and then make whatever changes I need to make before the Olympia. Or maybe just, you know, maybe like, you know, some of these other guys, maybe this is a good opportunity for him to make some money and he wants to go for that.
Well, the three names we just mentioned, I can't imagine would be, let's just assume that they're going to be in the shape they're supposed to be in. You got William, you got Manuel, and you got Victor. That's three spots already being taken up in the top five. Now is where it gets interesting, because now you've got some guys literally on that edge of, you got An Nguyen, who are, again, we're going to see. Now, An doesn't need major overhauling, bro. I mean, he's got some very good features. Like I say, he's got all the basics. He just literally needs to dial it down about a notch. And I think he'd be an instant contender, but I think it's a good move that he's in Tampa. But, you know, will we see a slightly better An Nguyen in Tampa?
I think he can be slightly better, but I don't know that he's going to – a week is enough time for him to get to where he needs to be a real contender. I think if a couple guys slip and he shows up a little bit better, he can be a top-five guy. But, you know, looking at his pictures from Sacramento, I don't think that was a flat full – or maybe he wasn't quite dry enough type thing. I think that was definitely a thing where he needed a few more weeks. I don't think he needed a lot of time. I don't think you look at his physique and say, hey, this is a guy who's 6 or 7 weeks out. I just don't know that a week is enough time for him to really dial it in. But he's in good enough shape already where if he can make some improvements in a week, he'll definitely look good and probably be fighting for a top five spot.
Well, speaking of top five spots, my old friend Ben White back in the mix. And we haven't seen Ben in a while. I don't think we've actually seen him since the beginning of the year. I believe it was one of the shows he was at. But interesting strategy. I mean, you go into the last show of the year, Ben's got to be looking for a W or he's got nothing.
Yeah, Ben earlier on this year looked like he had just downsized significantly in every department. Now, he came in really lean when we saw him. I believe it was in Orlando, but he was just looked really stringy. And, he was a guy who used to be really impressive as far as the size. So unless Ben has made some drastic changes over the course of the last 4 months, I don't really see him as being in the top five mix. In fact, with 22 guys there, I think he's going to, have a rough time pushing for the top 10.
Well, we're going to see former USA champ Rafael Jaramillo from Miami, Florida. He's going to be making a short drive to Tampa. We saw him briefly last year. He made kind of the quick jump into the pros, didn't do very well, but it was literally just weeks after he won his class at the USA. So what do you say to him? I mean, we got any talent here? Is Rafael a future superstar, or is he going to be in the middle of the pack?
I'm a little biased for Rafael because he busted out some Bon Jovi and did a really, really classic posing routine at Tampa last year. I mean, we get all these guys that talk all the time about how posing is dead, and it's too bad we weren't able to get video of his posing routine online, but it was absolutely incredible, and that's not just because he was posing to Bon Jovi. It was a slower song, but Rafael's a really impressive bodybuilder to me. He was or possibly still is lacking in the leg department. His upper body is fantastic. His conditioning was second to none at the show last year, and I think he ended up 10th out of 20-some guys. The thing about Rafael last year is he had to cut to 225 for the USA's to make heavyweight. So not only did he have to get super peeled to make that 225, he also had to downsize a little bit. We know he was bigger than that going into it, really wanted to make heavyweight. So it's going to make for an interesting appearance for him at the show just because are we going to see him as lean as he was now that he didn't have to make weight a week before or now that he doesn't have to worry about making weight? Is maybe he going to play the size game? And I hope he doesn't do that because I'd rather see him in great condition than be a little bit bigger. But I think he's definitely a top 10 guy at this show if he brings the condition that he did last year.
Well, you mentioned posing, David, and that brings me to kind of a side note. As everybody knows by now, me and my good friend Peter McGuff love to argue about the merits of the posing round, and he thinks it should be scored. I think it should not be scored. So we love going back and forth. It's like an annual fun time for us. But I got to say this now, something that kind of tweaked that same argument over the weekend. There was a problem with the DJ playing the music, not in terms of him personally, of course, David, but it seemed like some of the music was actually going slower than it should have been. And it was primarily during the girls' women's physique portion, which, of course, the athletes weren't too happy about. And then another one, the music actually didn't play, and there was some delay, and then obviously they ended up having to pose as something else. But I couldn't help but think to myself, now, to my counterpoint to Peter's point, if the posing round is scored, okay, and the music is messed up, which obviously these routines are choreographed, this and that, or your music doesn't play, or it cuts out in the middle, what do you do now? I mean, now you're at the subject, you're at the expense of the DJ and whether your music plays or not, and what if it doesn't play and you had actually posed as something you've never even heard before? How does this kind of work in with the scoring of the posing round now?
I love Peter McGuff. I really do. I mean, for anybody that had a chance to even meet Peter, much less work with him in the capacity that I have, I love Peter, but I agree with you 100%. I don't think the scoring round should be judged for a lot of reasons. That's an interesting one. If you get up there and it's not your music, how are you going to pose? On the flip side,
right?
I think that people who can pose good to anything. I mean, people who are legitimately good posers, and I put a lot of effort into the posing when I do a show, whether it be to some slower music or some 80s music. I like putting a lot of effort into posing. But I'm hoping that other guys do this as well, that like their posing. I'll be driving around and just hear a song on the radio and start like, oh man, how would I pose for this? And even just hearing it off the top of my head, I can start putting together transitions and poses. So I think if scoring was added to the posing round and somebody came with their music off, I think a really good poser could, I mean, if I went up on stage and I had a hip hop song or an 80s song and they played something completely different, I would just roll with it. And I think if you can pick up a beat, I think people could do good. You know, that all being said, I'm with you 100%. I love seeing good posing routine, but you know, as you had discussed, is a classical floor routine like Raphael did better than a Melvin Anthony or a Darren Charles routine? And of course, you get the Jay Cutler argument. Hey, I'm a bodybuilder. I'm not a dancer. You know, I'm gonna show up and try to be the biggest, leanest dude on stage. And I'm gonna hit my mandatory poses, hit them the best I can. But I'm not a dancer. And if you're gonna judge me on that, then this is a totally different type of competition. It's not a bodybuilding competition. So I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of other arguments to be had, despite the music screw up. But it is a very good point. That's it's unfair to people who have put a lot of time in to not have the music that they chose, regardless of whether they could post or whatever.
Yeah, well, just one more to my to add into my quiver. Me and Peter, like I say, we love to go back and forth on this one. So, of course, I'll be putting that online this week for all our fans that are online and then going back and forth and having some fun. That could be a nice topic for this week. But we've got a lot of other divisions,
forgot
David.
You forgot Max Charles. No, I think Max Charles.
Oh,
is, yeah. Saw him.
Can't
on the
forget
list.
Mad Max, bro. Another guy with a whole lot of. Let me ask you though: is Max Charles a contender or a pretender in here?
I think he's a top five guy. I think you could definitely see him in third, fourth, or fifth. I mean, he was. I think what did he get, fifth at New York? And I think he was really impressive in New York. His legs need to come up a little bit. And I think if I remember correctly, he had a whole ton of oil on and it looked a little funky. But he was really impressive to me in New York. And I definitely think you could see Max in anywhere between third and fifth place at this show.
Well, that'll be interesting because, I mean, it's like we said at the top. I mean, third to fifth is wide open, man. I mean, there's a bunch of names on here, including Manuel Lomeli, who actually is very good and he's out of Mexico. But his color was horrendous at the last show. He had that unnamed gold tanning stuff that we were just talking about, David, a couple of weeks ago, which absolutely killed him. But you got anybody from him to Jonathan Rowe to a veteran Bill Wilmore, who if he can get his mojo back, he could be making a splash. So we'll be keeping our eyes. And of course, David's dark horse pick, Pablo Ayala Zayales from Paraguay. So we'll keep our eyes on him and see if he can make your prediction come true. Well, David, the men's 212, the other bona fide men's competition here, and this thing's loaded up too. Tomas Benali from Italy in this one, Marco Cardona, Derek Farnsworth, Tricky Jackson, Corey Matthews, Marvin Ward, and of course probably the pre-contest favorite, which I'll kind of peg in there right now to win, Hidetada Yamagishi.
Yeah, there's a handful of names that really jump out, and I think you have to put Hidetada, Tricky Jackson, Marvin Ward close to the top. I think Corey Matthews, if he can really dial in his condition, his legs are a little undersized, but his upper body for a 212 guy is pretty incredible. Hidetada and Tricky were both a little off in Chicago, which left things open for, Charles Dixon. But I think both those guys know that there's a lot on the line here for this show, so I think they'll be in better shape. It would be interesting to see the two of them next to each other. I think Hidetada's legs have downsized a little bit since he went to the 212. So I think Tricky at 100% and Hidetada at 100%. I think Tricky edges him out, but it's going to be hard to say. Both really good posers. That should be interesting. My dark horse for this show, if he can bring the conditioning, is Alejandro Tumbernero, who won his pro card at the North American last year in the late heavyweights. I think he's definitely one to watch out for. Hopefully he brings it like he did last year.
Well, I'll tell you, those three, not exactly etched in stone. You got Fernando Almeida from Brazil, who actually has proven himself to be quite a formidable opponent. You've also got Rixio Tapia. We haven't seen him this year so far, but in the past, again, he's kind of come hot and cold. Like you said, Corey Matthews, Derek Farnsworth, the freak. May not be the biggest guy out there, but, his posing's always good, and he presents himself very well, Wendell Floyd. So kind of another one where you got kind of a suggested top three, but anything can happen with these guys.
Yeah, Charles Rayard. I mean, if he comes in really sharp, I'm not sure what he looked like in Sacramento. I didn't get a chance to see the pictures, but definitely a guy with some potential. Darren Glenn. I mean, yeah, this is a really interesting list because I don't think it's you know, if Turkey and Hitikata are even a little bit off and some of these other guys show up on, I think you could just throw some of these names in the hat and pull them out and have a really interesting top five.
Oh, yeah. No, that's for sure. Well, we got, like I said, 205 pros, and some of these classes are loaded up as I'm just looking down. David, of course, your expertise in pro bikini, and as I'm looking down there, this thing's loaded up as well. Gigi Amaro on there, my girl Vanessa Campbell coming back, Lacey DeLuca, Ali Garcia. I tell you, these... You know, these chicks are not letting up, man. Michelle Lewin, Naomi Ola, who's absolutely gorgeous, by the way. India Paulino. I tell you what, it's loaded up.
Yeah, the bikini show is it's definitely going to be close. I mean, there's a lot of really big names in there. I think if you had to pick a favorite, probably India Paulino. But there's no telling how all this stuff is going to play out, especially when you have that many girls that are pushing for top spots at other shows. It'll definitely be interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what else is interesting is probably the closest race in terms of who's qualified and who's not in the points is in the fairly new women's physique division. Ava Cowan, that's a name everybody pretty much knows from Pro Figure, is finally making the switch to women's physique, so she'll be making her long-awaited debut, so we'll see how she ends up. But I tell you what, she picked a hell of a show to get in here with. You got Jennifer Hernandez, that's Sexual Chocolate, for anybody that's ever heard me calling out my girl at the show. Sandra Lombardo, who was placed in the last two or three, Teresita Morales, Karina Nascimento, who might be one of the pre-contest favorites, and that's right in her backyard. Jillian Reville, fresh off a show this week. So, I mean, this thing's loaded up. They actually go to a second page here. There's 34 of these girls, so it's going to be a tough one, man, but you know what? Like I say, the real winner in all this is the fans, and of course our good friend Tim Gardner, who's putting on this event. It's going to be a blockbuster, David, and Tampa will be rocking.
Yeah, Tim Gardner always does a fantastic job with these shows. You talk to the athletes that do the shows, and the fans that show up, and everybody from the vendors to anybody that's involved in a Tim Gardner show, and they all have nothing but positive things to say. I know Tim personally, great guy, so it's no surprise to me that he puts the amount of work he does into putting on these shows. So it's going to be a great show. I mean, over 200 IFBB competitors, and it's not just, you know, when you look at these lifts, it's not just filler. I mean, there's a lot of really good competitors in every division, you know, even in the MD favorite men's physique, we have Steve Kadzevic, we got Matt Acton, we got Steve Malsherbosch. I mean, so there's big names in every single division that are going to be showing up at this show. So that really gives a lot of, you know, a lot of motivation for the fans to make their way over there and check things out.
Well, David, we will have full coverage, of course, right here at MD, your number one multimedia destination when it comes to the world of professional bodybuilding. We'll have regular updates starting from Thursday with interviews from some of the champs to the pregame, obviously, on Friday, and then, of course, right into the postgame report and the finals wrap-up. So I want to thank you for coming down, David, today and joining in, having some fun. And like I say, we will be out in Tampa in just a few days, the Last Chance Saloon, Tampa, for the PBW Championships. For David Bay, this is Bob Chick. We're out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.